Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Today's Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you'll please join me in reading the catechetical review found in your bulletin. The third article, sanctification. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give me eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. The epistle reading today is from Ephesians chapter 3. So I ask you not to lose your heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as we continue with the gospel. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel for the 16th Sunday of Trinity from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Good morning. Great to see you guys. I have some beautiful flowers here. Do you like the flowers? Do you see anything wrong with the flowers? Yeah, I think maybe even better, farther than starting to die. Yeah. When they're cut from the vine, we know what happens to flowers, don't we? They die. They'll look good for a little while, but they die. And when they die, what do we do with them? Is there any hope? Yeah, usually that's what we do. We'll take them and we'll throw them away and we'll get some other flowers maybe later on. When we look at the flowers like this, we'll say the flowers are dead, dying, or we might even say the flowers are dead, right? And we know what that looks like. They're all dry and they're not going to come to life again. Yeah, some deer eat our flowers too. Yeah, they like to do that. When we talk about dying and we talk about dead, we think about somebody. He's right behind you on the cross right there. We see this story of Jesus, and Jesus was here right outside of Jerusalem, and they had nailed Jesus to the cross. And he said at the end of his life, Jesus said, "It is finished." And then what happened to Jesus? He died. And he wasn't alive anymore, right? They took him down from the cross, and then they buried him in the tomb, and that's what happens, right? And that's the end of it. That's the end of the story, because when things die, there's no more hope. Is that right? Did Jesus stay dead? He didn't. This is an amazing story where death does not win. You see, the flowers are going to stay dead, but did Jesus stay dead? No. What happened? Right, he told all the disciples, he told everyone that I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be arrested and crucified, and I'll be dead, and I'll be in the grave for how long?
3 days.
And then what? And then death doesn't win. Because Jesus walked out of the grave. Was he still dead? No, he was alive. And he was appearing to the disciples and to more than 500 other people. They saw him. He was alive. Death didn't win. In the gospel reading for today, we have a story of a mother who's taking her son. Her son has died, and she's taking him to the cemetery, and they expect they're going to bury him, right? And what happened? Did death win? Jesus was there, and he put his hand on the casket, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And you know what happened? The dead man sat right up. He wasn't dead anymore. They didn't go bury him. He went back home to be with his family, because with Jesus, death does not win. That's a beautiful bracelet. I think it's too late for those flowers, right? Jesus could bring them back to life, but we can't. With Jesus, death does not win. Will you say that with me? With Jesus, death does not win. One more time so the folks behind us can say it with us too. With Jesus, death does not win, because Jesus defeated death. And all of us who know Jesus, all of us who are baptized, have the promise that someday when death takes us, he will make us alive again and take us home to be with him. Death does not win because Jesus has overcome death. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying and forgiving us. Thank you for rising and giving us hope and raising us from the dead. In your name, amen. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming up here this morning. And we continue with our next hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for the hope and the promise that we have, that as you have drawn us into your kingdom through the waters of baptism and has connected us to your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, death will not overcome us. Give us strength and hope in our hour and time of mourning that we might rejoice in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. This last week, my family and I gathered for a close family funeral, the funeral of my oldest cousin. Unexpectedly, we all gathered together for that, and as we were sitting there before the funeral, there were two women that were visiting, and one said to the other, "I always cry at funerals." And the other said, "Why is that?" "Because you're so sad, because your cousin is now not here." And she said, "No, I am a sympathetic crier." And I hadn't heard that before. When there is a lot of emotion in the room, when something as tragic as this death happens, and people are sad and people are mourning, this other woman said, "I just cry. I'm a sympathetic crier." In the gospel reading for today, we could say that Jesus is a sympathetic healer. Because Jesus, in the midst of all of the grief and all of the sadness and everything that's going on at this funeral, he sees the pain, he sees the suffering, he sees the loss in the mourning, and he gives hope to this widow. He gives hope to the mourners, and he gives life to the death, to the one who has already died. More importantly, Jesus alone gives us victory over an enemy that we can't beat on our own. He gives us hope and promise. and a sure and certain baptism that connects us to his death and also to his life. So as certainly as Jesus died and rose, those of us who are baptized will die and rise again as certainly as Jesus did. Now, most funerals have a certain order to them. When you go to a funeral, you know what to expect. You're going to gather there with family and friends. You're going to talk about your loss. You're going to gather together in a worship service. And hopefully, the pastor does his job and he points you to Jesus, to his death and his resurrection and the hope that we have in him. And then afterwards, we take our loved one and we bury them. And we mourn. And we go on. And we try to heal. The funeral of this widow's son followed that order as well. A large crowd had gathered. A large crowd had gathered not only for the sake of the one who had died, but also for his mother. This was the second go-around. This was the second funeral. First her husband, and now her son. And she has nothing. She has nowhere to go. She has no one to watch out for her. She has no income. Not only is she mourning the loss of the one that she gave birth to, but certainly wondering about her future and what this is going to mean for her. She's alone and broken and mourning. Not only mourning the loss of her son, but mourning the brokenness of what all of this means. Here is where the sympathetic Jesus takes action. The sympathy Jesus has for this woman and for the mourners, it's more than pity at a bad situation, feeling sorry for the woman. Jesus has compassion for her. Not just for her loss and for her mourning, but even more clearly that more clearly than anyone else can see, knows the results of sin. It brings days like this for the woman. It brings death. It brings separation. It brings pain and suffering and deep, inconsolable mourning to those who struggle with the loss of a loved one. A more graphic translation of Jesus having compassion on this woman was, his guts ached. Everything about Jesus' humanness was mourning and feeling the loss that this woman felt. So Jesus does what only he can do, what only the Son of God can do. He breaks the order of things. He breaks the bonds of death. He brings hope and healing and life to this man whom death seems to have claimed. Now you can imagine the commotion as Jesus steps into the middle of this active funeral. The pallbearers are carrying the body, and Jesus stands right in front of them. Who would be so insensitive to break up this event? Who would be so unsympathetic that he would stand there in the midst of all of this and add more chaos to an already sad situation? And not only did he stand in front, Jesus grabs the coffin and he says to the man, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he did. Right in the middle of death, right in the middle of mourning and sadness and no hope, Jesus stands there and with a word from his mouth, he commands that death does not hold this man, and he comes to life. The breathless, cold corpse breathes and sits up and talks to his mother and is restored again to his family. This is what sympathetic healing looks like. You see, Jesus, knowing that death awaits all of us, he comes and he stands in our place. Jesus comes to die our death. He comes to bring us sinless, eternal life. Jesus comes to die our death. He comes into this world and he has sympathy on us. Or as it says in the text, he has compassion on us. And he gives to us what we can never find for ourselves. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us the promise of eternal life, of a resurrection certainly just like his. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right there at the font when water and word was placed upon your head, Jesus spoke words of life to you, just like he spoke words of life to this man in the casket. He connected you at that point to his cross. He connected you to the forgiveness of sins. He connected you to the events of Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. So as certainly as Jesus rose on that Sunday morning, we have that exact same hope. Jesus rose from the dead. And he promises all of us who believe and are baptized that we also shall live because Jesus lived as well. Those who die in Christ will live as certainly as Jesus lives. God is with his people. He is with us with this holy and certain promise that he has already defeated death for us. That's our hope at every Christian funeral. God is with his people. He's with his sons and his daughters who have died, and they now rest with him. Our loved ones who have died in faith rest with Jesus. And we gather for the funeral. When we gather for a funeral here, we hear the sympathetic healer's words and promise right at the very beginning of the funeral service. The very first thing we hear, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. Certainly, as Jesus raised this man in the casket, so also that resurrection waits for you. Even where death seems to have the last word, there is still hope, resurrection hope. Because Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, and he has given that promise to us. When someone dies, we say all kinds of things that really do not do justice to the hope that we have. We say they're in a better place. Well, dear saints, we can do far better than that. When someone says to you they're in a better place, I pray that you are as bold as Jesus was when he walked in and stopped the bearers and put his hands on the casket, and you say, they are with Jesus, not just a better place. We know where they are, risen from the dead, forgiven, sitting with Jesus, resting with him at peace, waiting for Jesus to stand upon the earth again when he will call the bodies to life and soul and body will be united in perfect peace. We have a hope, more than just a better place. We know that those who die in faith rest with Jesus. There's so many things when we talk about death, so many misconceptions that people have that they think are good news. We do not become angels when we die. The angels were created to serve us, God's greatest and holiest creation, mankind. When a child of God dies, they rest with Jesus, waiting for the time when Jesus will stand upon the earth again. And then with a word from his mouth, he will raise them and all the dead. Those who die in faith are not displaced souls wandering around looking for someone or something to haunt. When we die, those who believe and are baptized go home to be with Jesus. They rest with him until the day when he comes again. Those who deny Jesus, they go to eternal suffering in hell. There is no middle ground. There is no second chance. The day of salvation and the hope we have is today. The dead go to be with Christ. They rest with Jesus. They don't go to purgatory to work off their sins. Babies don't go to limbo waiting for someone to do some good works so that they can be taken into heaven. Christ has overcome death. And those that die in faith go home to be with him. The resurrection is won, sins are forgiven, and Christ's promise awaits us that one day we will go home to be with him. This last week, as I was with my family and friends, I heard a lot of people say as we were talking, we lost our friend today. And I just bit my tongue and said, we didn't lose him, and he's not lost. He's with Jesus. He's with Jesus. No more suffering, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more infirmities. Waiting with Jesus until the day he stands upon the earth. And then that day, if you and I are still alive, we will see what the widow saw. With a word from Jesus' mouth, the graves will be opened, and the bodies will arise, and the soul that rests with Jesus will be in the body, and it will be made new. No problems. No sin, no suffering, a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus reigning on the throne, and we living in something similar to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before sin came into the world. That is our hope, even in the midst of death. When we gather together for a Christian funeral, at the very end, at the last part of the interment, we hear this. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. That's the hope that we have. An Easter morning, resurrection hope in the midst of a place where death seems to have had the last word. We know that those who die in Christ will rise as certainly as Christ has risen. Christ is risen. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.